This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. This week, I'll be speaking with local author Max Furyk, who discusses his books ranging from local music icons Bill Kelly and Jerry Ludzik from Dakota to UFOs and the paranormal. Also feature an encore of my interview with Maureen Mayer Gray about Northeast PA Youth Shelter and its mission and new location. And I'll feature an encore of my interview with Jeffrey Lake from the Lake Foundation about his upcoming Unmasking Mental Health Gala coming up in February. Special Edition gets started right now. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Maxim Furyk, a local author from northeastern Pennsylvania, from the Berwick area. Got quite a list of books. You've got Shepton, The Myth, Miracle in Music from 2016. So you have Altered States of Ufology. Is that how that's pronounced?
Yeah, that's Flying Saucer Esoteric, okay. Subtitled The Altered States of Ufology. And that's an encyclopedia of flying saucers from the days before Christ, when people saw things, to the congressional hearings of July of 2023, when a Pennsylvania guy, David Grush, former military intelligence, told Congress that he knew where the bodies were, and the non-humans, and he knew where the crashed vehicles are. So that was his testimony in 2023. And then just in 2024, Congress did it again, and they brought all these witnesses that said, yes, the government knows where these vehicles are, but they're not telling us. So I don't know. I mean, the government keeps on saying that they're going to open up and there's going to be more transparency. But I'm currently down in Florida. I wrote a letter to Marco Rubio, who had at the time was on the government's UFO committee. And I wrote him a letter and said, let's, could you sort of encourage David Grush to show his cards, tell us what he knows. And then, unfortunately, Marco Rubio is now the Secretary of State, so he's out of the flying saucer game. So I lost my contact, but he did write back, and we were sort of going back and forth. But anyway, there's people in the government that believe there's something there that the government is not telling us. So that's my flying saucer esoteric covers that in depth, and one of my paranormal books.
Now, you're trying to tell us that it's not a weather balloon over Roswell, New Mexico in 1947?
Yeah, 1947, first of all, in 1947, Kenneth Arnold saw the 9 discs over Mount Rainier, and that kicked the whole thing off. So when people looked up in the sky, it was sort of like a Rorschach test. You look and you'll see something, but they didn't see flying saucers. They saw secret weapons from Russia or from Germany. So this was in 1947. So same thing with the drone hysteria over New Jersey in 2024. People weren't seeing flying saucers when they looked up there, but they saw what they thought might have been the 2024 version of the Chinese spy balloons.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
They might have been from Iran or Russia or China. But, that was hysteria, much like the 1938 War of the Worlds, where we didn't get any answers and nobody was coming forward to help clarify the situation. And I'll tell you what, I mean, and you know, we're not going to get political here, but both sides of the political spectrum pretty much screwed up and dropped the ball. The Biden administration was not able to successfully articulate what we were seeing up there. President-elect Trump did everything he could to fan the flames of hysteria by saying that the government knew what it was and they were withholding that information from the people. So all that did was just raise our level of anxiety. You know, our government is supposed to be there to protect us and to keep us secure, you know, physically and even mentally. And again, everybody dropped the ball. So I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, you know, all of the players, you know, screwed up in a major way. So that drone hysteria of 2024 is going to go down as a classic. I mean, you know, we needed to know something and they gave us nothing. And again, there was, you know, panic, not so much like the 1938 War of the Worlds, you know, with Orson Welles.
Right.
We had a lot of anxiety that we really didn't need. And, you know, and the government and our politicians could have done better. There was even representative from South Carolina that said these drones could be interplanetary vehicles, you know. So, you know, we had that too. So, you know, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, conspiracy theories that that terrorist stole radioactive bomb from Ukraine. And that was in New Jersey, and the drones were government drones looking to find that that heat signature. That it was government drones trying to track down that those radioactive devices. So, and, you know, we had a lot going on. It was a real circus, and now it's gone. It's gone. All that hysteria from Thanksgiving of 2024. You know, it's dissipated. Nobody talks about that anymore except me. So,
well, the election's over with now, Max. So they have to do something to keep the fire going until the inauguration day, which is coming up shortly.
Yeah. And, you know, we had the same thing back in, when was it, 2000, that Y2K?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people thought it was going to be the end of the world. I mean, they thought planes were going to fall out of the sky and computers would crash and we were going to die. I mean, the media and everybody else did everything they could to fan the flames of hysteria. And I'll tell you what, fear rules. I mean, people allow themselves to be ruled through fear. Fear is the most basic emotion that man has. And as H.P. Lovecraft said, fear of the unknown is the most powerful emotion that man has. And people like politicians, religious leaders, cult leaders know that, and they use fear to control us, and we follow because we're like little sheep. So
this is Special Edition, Brian Hughes. My guest this morning is Maxim Furyk. He's got a number of books out there. We're talking about his books on UFOs and your new one. It's Cole Region Hoodoo, Paranormal Tales from Inside the Pit. Tell me a little bit about this book.
Well, that's not so new. They came out in 2023, but that book took off. That's my Pennsylvania-centric book.
Okay.
And, you know, I was sort of, you know, as a paranormal author, you know, former rock journalist, but as a paranormal author, I was really getting upset that all of the books about Pennsylvania paranormal topics were all about Gettysburg or Lancaster. You know, they were either about the lost spirits of Gettysburg or the hex signs and witches of Lancaster. And I thought, wait a second, Northeastern Pennsylvania has our own share of mystery. And
yes, we do.
And so Cole Region Hoodoo, Paranormal Tales from Inside the Pit, was all about that. And Cole Region Hoodoo is a wonderful bestseller. And, you know, I would encourage your readers, not so much to buy the book, but I think they should, but to just jump on Amazon.com and Google Cole Region Hoodoo reviews. I mean, there's like something like 60 reviews. They're all stellar. They're all five stars. It's a great book for, you know, about Pennsylvania supernatural. There's a big chunk that's about the Pennsylvania Northeast, the Schmerl haunting from West Pittston.
Yes, I remember that well.
Yeah, Dr. Frederick Santee, who is from Wallapalapin, and there is a special that's going to be on the New York City-based Oculus Alchemy about Dr. Santee. And I'm proud to say that I was part of that because Oculus Alchemy came to Walpolepan on August the 9th of 2024, and they shot the documentary. And this was during Hurricane Debbie with a torrential rain and tornado warnings and everything else. But this is going to be shown in March 2025 on Oculus Alchemy. So I was, just really glad to be a part of that and to bring some recognition to Dr. Frederick Santee, who is one of the foremost forward thinkers of the 20th century. And he was a doctor from Walpolepan, Pennsylvania.
Max, did your book have anything about the 1974 UFO crashing into Russell Park Pond? Because they just celebrated the 50th anniversary of that a few months ago in Carbondale.
Yeah, I know. That was the Carbondale thing. And in Flying Saucer Esoteric, I talk about that. There's two ways to look at that. Some people felt that it was just a miner's lantern that some kids threw into the...
Now, that's the story I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other ones is that maybe something actually crashed there. And sort of like Kecksburg in western Pennsylvania. Kecksburg was our equivalent to Roswell. And in Kecksburg in western PA in 1965, a craft came down, and then the military vehicles came in the dead of night and took it out there and allegedly took it to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Well, in Carbondale, allegedly something came down and the military vehicles took it to Toby Hanna, to be analyzed. But in both cases, there was sort of like a blackout. Some people thought there was a cover-up. And certainly with Kecksburg, these researchers that utilized the Freedom of Information Act to get information found out that these documents were either A, lost, or B, redacted. So there was no information to be had. So whatever came down in Kecksburg in 1965, we don't know because the government is not sharing that information with us. Whether it was, one of our spy satellites or one from Russia or something that was anomalous, i.e., extraterrestrial, interdimensional, who knows? But we don't know because we're not getting that information. And
right.
This lack of information leads to a little bit of paranoia and hysteria, it's too bad, but we're living in that climate. And again, the drone hysteria of 2024 was a really good example of that. And then going back a year earlier, the Chinese balloons that were driving everybody crazy because it seemed like the government was not taking action with them. But anyway, that's, we'll wait for the next.
Max, I want to be able to talk to you a little bit about another book you had out almost 9 years ago. It came out, Shepton, The Myth, Miracle, and Music, and how it's kind of connected to a very popular song from a group based in northeastern Pennsylvania. I'm talking about the 1971 song Timothy by the Boys.
Yeah, back in, I started out as a rock journalist. So I was writing a book about the connection of the song Timothy, 1971, which was about cannibalism in a mine. And I was making the connection with the actual 1963 Shepton mine disaster, where three guys were entombed for 2 weeks, only two came out, and there were these horrible, unfounded allegations of cannibalism. So I was writing that book. I was trying to make that correlation, and I discovered that in Shepton there were all kinds of paranormal events. For example, out-of-body experiences, afterlife experiences, near-death experiences, humanoid creatures, just a lot of weirdness. That book came out in 2016, and Shepton, The Myth, Miracle, and Music took off and opened up the doors to the paranormal realm for me. So Shepton in 2016, 9 years ago, opened up the door. And then to bring it around full circle, in 2021, during the pandemic, I finished my book called Somebody Else's Dream, The Boys, Dakota, and Timothy. And that told the story. I wanted to celebrate the 50-year anniversary of the song Timothy. And that was 2021. So the book came out then. And my book preempted the Central Pennsylvania Hall of Fame that inducted the boys after that, and then the Luzerne County organization that inducted the boys even after that. But
I was just talking about the boys just recently. Bill Kelly has passed away.
Very unfortunate. He has such a beautiful voice. And as I wrote, you know, he sang with the Angels. And I'll tell you what, you can't mention the name Bill Kelly without mentioning the name Jerry Lidzik.
Exactly.
And those two worked well together with the guitar solos, with the vocals, with, I mean, you name it, you know. And, you know, Kelly, Lidzik would go low, Kelly would go high. I mean, they just played off of each other. You know, they did so well. They were so successful. And of course, their 1980 MCA LP Runaway. They toured with Queen for all those gigs in 1980. And their management, their record company could have done a lot better. Dakota should have been a bigger name than it was. And they were pretty much let down by, you know, the big wigs with MCA and, you know, and everybody else. It's too bad. I mean, they should have had a better ending. But they were a very talented group, you know, and Lidzik and Kelly were just like great together. And, you know, and Northeastern Pennsylvania needs to be proud of them. But, you know, my Kelly really liked my book, Somebody Else's Dream. And after his death, and then unfortunately, I mean, I didn't do anything to promote the book, but all of a sudden, you know, the sales of the book really took off after Kelly's death. And I think people just wanted to go and re-explore, you know, his career and, you know, with the boys and the Jerry Kelly Band in Dakota. So I'm just, you know, glad that I was able to go and write the book, do the research and, you know, and maybe have that as a legacy for the music of Northeastern Pennsylvania. So, you know, that's my contribution. And, you know, it's called Somebody Else's Dream. And, you know, it's just, you know, I just think it's a wonderful book about Northeastern Pennsylvania rock and roll. So, you know, Kelly liked it. And that's, you know, that's good enough for me.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Maxim Furyk, talking about some of the books he's written. One, Coal Region Hoodoo, talking about UFOs and the paranormal. What else do you have coming up in the pipeline, and where could we find these books for any of our listeners that are interested in purchasing them and find out more about UFOs, the paranormal, and how Northeast PA ties into it?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, the Shepton, The Myth, Miracle, and Music came out 9 years ago, and then I followed up with Coal Region Hoodoo, Flying Saucer Esoteric. My latest book is called The Lost Tribes of Bigfoot, that is really starting to resonate. But anyway, you could purchase the books on Amazon.com. And, you know, those guys are billionaires and they could use another couple of bucks.
So of course.
Amazon.com is one place to go. Or you could check out my website. It's www.maximfurek.com. And you could read about, you know, my books and my career. And I'd be glad to offer autographed copies to, you know, to the your listeners. But, you know, I'm just honored to be able to go and add to the tapestry of Northeastern Pennsylvania. You know, we have a lot of our superstars, you know, writers and playwrights and musicians and, you know, a lot of creative people. And I would hope that the people of Northeastern Pennsylvania would never forget that. I mean, we have, you know, our own, you know, celebrities and overachievers, and it's wonderful just to recognize some of those, like the boys and Dakota, you know, like Jerry Lidzik and Bill Kelly.
Maxim, as long as you're willing to tell the story, we will give you as much of a megaphone that you need to tell your story.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. It's, you know, there's a saying, how does that go? Not only to be loved, but to be told that I am loved, for the realm of silence is large enough beyond the grave. And that means that, yeah, you need to go and say it and hear it and talk about it. And that's what we're doing. But, you know, Northeastern Pennsylvania has a wonderful vibe, and we just have to keep on, you know, reminding each other that we do, that we're special, we're unique, and we need to just keep on talking about that. So I think that's something that I try to do with my writing.
Okay. Maxim Furyk, author of the 2016 book Shepton, The Myth, Miracle, and Music. I've got Coal Region Hoodoo and your latest one on the Lost Tribes of Bigfoot. Bigfoot kind of of got in the news recently when two guys up in the Oregon area went looking for Bigfoot, but they weren't prepared, and they ended up dying of exposure. Kind of a sad situation.
And another parallel are some of these young kids that go into these haunted houses, these former insane asylums or prisons, looking for demons. And, you know, if you keep on looking, I mean, you know, if you get close enough to the flame, you're going to get burned. And I recommend to some of these young people to be careful of what you're looking for. You know, I believe that there's demonic spirits out there, and they are, you know, and that could be a portal to something dark and dangerous. So, you know, I warn people to be careful about what they do. But, you know, looking for Bigfoot out in the Pacific Northwest is equivalent to looking for these demons, which a lot of people are doing currently. So buyer beware.
All I want is just a clear picture of Bigfoot. Every picture that's ever been has been blurry. I mean, we've got good cameras now. Let's get a real good picture of Bigfoot, see what we're looking into.
Yeah, I have. I talk a lot about the Patterson-Gimlin film of 1967 in my book, The Lost Tribes of Bigfoot, and that 1967 58-second film is the most authentic, valid information or proof that we have that Bigfoot exists. And it was a female Bigfoot. They called her Patty. But people like Jeff Meldrum, the anthropologist from University of Idaho, so many of these experts have looked at it, and they said it is an actual creature, not a man in a monkey suit. So, you know, take a look at it. It's all over the internet. And, you know, I think this is the one example we have, the one, the 1967 Patterson-Gimlin film with the Bigfoot world is equivalent to the 2004 Tic Tac video that we have that Navy pilots took off the coast of San Diego, where they saw this object faster and more maneuverable than any guided missile that was hovering, and then it went underwater. 1967 Bigfoot film, 2004 Tic Tac video, UFO film, both valid proofs, evidence that there's something there, you know, something that we can't explain, you know, an anomaly. So
as Fox Mulder always says, the truth is out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Max Furyk, appreciate you joining us and sharing your information with us here on Special Edition. Hope to talk to you somewhere down the road.
Brian, thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Coming up next on Special Edition, I'll feature an encore of my interview with Maureen Mayer Gray about Northeast PA Youth Shelter, as well as its mission and its new location. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest today is Maureen Mayer Gray from the Northeast PA Youth Shelter. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
I just want to make sure I got your name pronounced right. Maureen Mayer Gray?
That's correct.
Okay, good. Executive Director and Founder of the Northeast PA Youth Shelter. I understand you're finding a new home in the coming year.
Yes, we are. Things came together remarkably this last few months, where we found a temporary location after we were forced to move August 31st. We have a temporary location. I don't reveal the address publicly, but okay. If you need to drop off something, you can. People can certainly contact us at our cell phone number, 570-892-1414, and I'll give them the information. But our new address, we think by late January, is 895 Providence Road. And if you're not familiar with that, there's the high school, the Memorial Stadium, then three houses, and then there's a parking lot. And we're in this little strip mall. It's not very glamorous by any stretch, but we have behind it 3,500 square feet, which we are having built out to our custom specification.
As the old saying goes, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. So this is going to be our after-school teen center, so it's really convenient to the high school. And we will be open Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m.
Now, do you have a set date that you'll be in that location operating?
Well, you know how construction goes, right?
Right.
Two steps forward, one step back. So we are, at the absolute earliest would be around January 15th, but we're leaning more towards the end of January.
Yeah, I was going to say, construction usually this time of the year, it would be even more difficult, I would imagine.
Especially because there's no heat in the building that they're working on. Too,
that could be a problem. I can understand that.
Yes.
This is Special Edition. My guest is Maureen Marr Gray, Executive Director and Founder of the NEPA Youth Shelter, finding a new home for a new year in 2025. Tell me, when did this youth shelter get started?
We incorporated as a nonprofit back in August 2016, and we really had no idea what we were doing. This is all off the cuff, but just motivated by kids who told us directly that there was no place for them to go, especially if they were LGBT and their families weren't very welcoming. And so we thought if we started a teen center first to develop relationships, develop a reputation amongst kids as being honest and trustworthy and helpful, that when kids were in crisis, they would come to us. And so we spent almost a year looking for a new location for our teen center, and we came across 541 Wyoming Avenue, the second floor, and we were offered the space. And we opened our first, well, I guess that is our first teen center, on October 30th, 2017. Then that first week, we had six kids come in on Friday, and by the end of the school year, we had registered over 120 individual teens. And the next year it grew, and the next year it grew, and then the next year was COVID. So things dropped down, but we were still managed to be open. We had lots of help with COVID protocols from community members. And then when that started to subside, our numbers started to pick back up. And last year we were back up to, like, I think somewhere in the 160, 170 range of kids, individual kids. Then moving over the summer, we're much farther from the high school right now. So our numbers have dropped to around 20, which we expected. So, but now we feel when we move to the new location right next to school, we're going to be in the 60 to 70 range.
So that's basically what you can handle at this point, or how large of a number are you expecting this to grow?
Well, we only have 3,500 square feet, and I only have a limited number of volunteers. And I like to do a one adult to 10 teens ratio versus, like, if other state locations are, well, the state will specify 1 to 15.
Right.
I like a little narrower view, especially in our old place because we had a lot of smaller rooms. This is going to be a much bigger, wide open space, I should say. And so that 1 to 10 will work very well because there's only one room really where the kids can segregate themselves from the rest of the group, and that's where we'll have the PlayStation.
Now, what does this shelter offer for teens?
Okay, good question. And we do intend to continue our services just on a smaller scale. We have clothing rooms where they can take gently used clothing that has been donated. We have a food pantry and a personal care products pantry where they can get things that they need, deodorant, shampoo, chapsticks, this time of year. We also have a recording studio, which we will be building a special room in the new place just for this recording studio. We have a beautiful pool table that's been in storage these last few months that we'll have put together and back out in the space. We also have a mental health therapist who is there during our business hours. And we also work with local community organizations to take the kids on field trips. We're planning something with Indraloka Animal Sanctuary in the spring. We just took the kids, two of the kids, to New York to see MJ the Musical on Broadway through a generous donation from a donor. We are also planning a big project with the Ski Shack where they are going to take some of our kids, get them all outfitted and take them up to Montage and teach them how to ski or snowboard, whichever their preference is. In the spring, we'll also be planting a little garden. We just also got a beautiful basketball hoop donated, so this will be our first time we have outdoor space. And somebody else donated basketballs, so we are good to go for the spring. And we also just offer adults who also pass background checks. So everybody is, you know, well vetted. So the kids just have somebody to talk to who's in their corner. It makes them feel valued. And that's our biggest give that we give to the kids, is we make them feel that they are special.
I guess it would be easier to ask, what don't you do?
We don't have transportation. How's that?
Okay. Okay. So that's something we can work on here. We get you some transportation. Get you a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. At our center, we feed them three times. We have snacks when they come in after school. We have a hot meal. And then we give them more snacks on their way out the door. We have bottled water for them. I don't usually serve soda because there's just already too much sugar in their diet.
Right.
So, we do try to be a one-stop shopping for them as much as possible.
This is Special Edition. My guest, Maureen Marr Gray, the executive director and founder of the NEPA Youth Shelter in Scranton. They're getting a new location not far from Scranton High School on Providence Road. Now, I'm checking in your mission statement. It's kind of a two-part thing. It's an after-school teen drop-in center for high school-age students, but also a housing program for youths ages 18 to 21 who are homeless.
That is correct. Thing that became very abundantly clear our first couple of years of overhearing the kids talk is how they were worried about turning 18 because their parents were going to kick them out and they didn't have any place to go. And we had anticipated that was going to be the case. And so we had money set aside in our budget and we waited for them to come to us. And we had our first homeless teen come to us in December 2019. And we had the funds available to get him an apartment, get him set up with his utilities, give him a small grocery stipend every month. At the time, he was a senior in high school, and he thought he was going to have to drop out. But he not only finished school, he graduated as the first person in his family to graduate high school. So proud of himself. But he couldn't have done it without our support. And he comes back periodically and thanks us for laying a foundation for him. Since then, we've had, 16, 17, 18. We just took client number 20 just at the beginning of this month. And we do have, it is a referral program, or not a referral program, excuse me, it's an application program. So it's not an open bed shelter like some of the other shelters. It's
right.
An actual apartment with, we provide all the utilities. We work with them to make sure they finish high school. If they're already finished with high school, but in that age range, we help them with what they want to do next. Are they going to go to school? Are they going to get a job? What does that look like? How do you keep a job? That's a big problem. Especially COVID, you know, really kind of stymied a lot of their social skills. So we work with them about how to be a good employee and how to make a good impression. We teach them how to keep house. We teach them how to grocery shop and do basic cooking skills. We have, we bought a building in the Hill section that we've been renovating. Actually, the plumbers are here right now working on one of the radiators. And we want to make sure that these kids have a fresh start and are knowledgeable when they step out into the adult world, because many kids come to us, they have no idea what a paycheck looks like. They don't understand taxes. They don't understand how to bank. They've never stepped foot in a bank.
Now, the whole writing a check thing, I mean, it's it's sort of outdated at this point, but I mean, it's something you need to know, balancing a checkbook, especially.
Budgeting is big. I'm going to be meeting a kid later today to give him a budget sheet because he has no idea how he spent his money. So, you know, and he wants to get his own apartment. I'm like, okay, well, you need to have about $2,000 to $3,000 in your pocket to get an apartment these days on the open market. And when you're 18 and you're working, you know, 18, 25 hours at McDonald's, how do you come up with $2,000 or $3,000? You can't unless you really are stingy in how you spend your money and maintaining that. You know, you look great. There's some beautiful apartments out there, but can you really afford $1,200 a month? No, you can't. So, you know, also bringing them down to reality and which is very hard because the rental market locally has, rents have gone up significantly since COVID started. And many of the nonprofits are starved for housing for our clients. So that's why we ended up buying a building.
Right.
Because we needed to control the costs. So that's how we're doing it.
Lauren, where could we find out more information about the NEPA Youth Shelter for any teens or young adults that may be listening that are in desperate need for your services?
Sure. So we are on Facebook, NEPA Youth Shelter. We are also on Instagram, NEPA Youth. We are business cell phone is 570-892-1414. We have a website, www.nepayouthshelter.org. That also has our contact information listed. you can contact us through Messenger on Facebook, the Messenger app. A lot of kids just call or text. We can also be texted at the 570-892-1414 number.
So if you have a wish list, and I'm sure you do for your organization, what would you say would be your top three wishes?
Well, especially with the construction going on, we would like, and that's why it's a wish list, we would like a standalone electric fireplace that's also a TV stand. There's nothing like a fire, in the winter.
Right.
We do have a beautiful TV and PlayStation that a high school donated to us last spring that we'd like to be able to make a cozy, comfy room for them to hang out while they're playing their games or talking. We could also use new pool sticks and a set of pool balls for our pool table once it gets put back together. We are always, always in need of bottled water.
Okay. Maureen Maher Gray, the executive director, founder of the Northeast PA Youth Shelter, getting a brand new location on Providence Road, not far from Scranton High School. Hopefully by the middle of January, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. I appreciate you joining us and sharing that with us here on Special Edition. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next on Special Edition, I'll feature an encore of my interview with Jeffrey Lake from the Lake Foundation about his upcoming Unmasking Mental Health Gala coming up in February. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest today is Jeffrey Lake of the Lake Foundation, here to talk about his foundation and the cause of Unmasking Mental Health. It's a big event coming up in February of 2025. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Tell me about your foundation, how it got started, and why Unmasking Mental Health is your main cause in life.
Yeah, so I started this foundation in 2023. Essentially, the backstory to it is just, my personal mental health and my experience with mental health and those around me, whether it was addiction, mental illness, whatever. I've been touched by that throughout my life. So that's where it started.
Okay. Now, you got an event coming up. Is this the second annual event Unmasking Mental Health? It's like a masquerade event?
This is actually the first annual.
Oh, it's the first. Okay.
Yeah, this is the first annual event. We're starting this as our annual gala to fundraise.
Okay. Now, where is this going to be held, and when's the date exactly?
So it'll be held at Constantino's Catering in Clark Summit. It's on February 26, 2025.
Okay. How were you able to put together this foundation? Was it do you have help from like a lot of other people? I imagine putting a foundation together is not really an easy thing for most people. So how'd you get started in doing it?
I actually did it all on my own.
Really?
Yeah, I was working full time as a nurse. I was going to school as an undergraduate psychology student and raising at the time 2.5-year-old.
Okay.
This was something that I started on the side, pieced together for a couple months. And then finally, after I got everything started and rolling, I started bringing in a little bit of help.
I was wondering, because usually it takes a village for like something this big to get a foundation rolling, but getting it started yourself, that's quite a bit of work. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Jeffrey Lake, CEO of the Lake Foundation. Here to talk about an event coming up in February of next year, Unmasking Mental Health. What was behind the whole masquerade event? Is it something that you're interested in, or just something unique that you were looking to do?
Yeah, so I'm a man of many interests, I would say.
Okay.
And one of them is fashion.
Right.
And so the fashion show aspect of it grew from that. I also tied the masquerade theme, which is also like an old interest of mine, mm-hmm. To the unmasking mental health, because we all mask our mental health. A lot of us do, at least.
Yeah, I can understand that. There are so many things out there people are going through, and they never really show that because they think they're being strong and keeping it all in. And in reality, you need to kind of share it with somebody that you trust, at least, if not a trained professional in that area. So is that something that you had gone through for a while, or is it just something you just decided, I need to to do something now and come up with this foundation idea?
No, so I would say the idea took a while to get to.
Okay.
When I was in nursing school, the idea of being a nurse, I knew I liked it, but I knew it wasn't quite enough for me. And I right. started searching for more. I started to pursue medical school, actually, with the interest of being in psychiatry. And that's where things started, was when I started finding psychiatry in that path. I didn't end up fully pursuing medical school. I switched routes to psychology because I liked the therapy aspect of it, the human aspect of it, more than the medicine piece. And that's where this idea started to grow into, like, what can I do in my community to make a difference other than just be a professional?
One thing I found out, I took psychology at the University of Scranton many, many moons ago. I found out I've learned more about psychology just being in the workplace than I ever did in a classroom. And I'm sure you probably discovered that as well.
Yeah. I actually found my passion for therapy being a nurse in that realm, in that workplace. I was rooming patients, getting them prepared for the doctor. And I found myself spending way too much time with them.
Right.
And I found the doctors getting annoyed that I was spending so much time with them, but it was because I was connecting with them and I was finding in them mental health issues other than the physical issues that they were coming there for.
So you're kind of like doing the pre-interview stage, whether it was part of your job description or not. I think you're probably getting something out of it, finding more about yourself even by talking with other people in that respect.
Oh, that's absolutely correct.
This is Special Edition. My guest this morning is Jeffrey Lake, the founder of the Lake Foundation, talking about Unmasking Mental Health, a masquerade event that is coming up on February 26, 2025 at Constantino's in Clark Summit. Now, you've got quite a few different packages regarding this event, from bronze host, silver, gold, event sponsor, premier sponsor. You want to tell me about that?
Yeah, so just looking to get some sponsorships for this event. The benefits to each of these packages vary, from advertising your logo in our programming, to getting tickets to the event, to a whole table to the event, to being able to speak at the event if you are a premier sponsor.
Okay, and I understand you've got a celebrity at the head of this event. That would be Jeremy Luan from WNEP.
That's right. Yeah, we were able to get Jeremy. He was very interested when we got in touch with him, and we're excited to have him.
He's an interesting guy. Not too many people would go on a cruise to Mexico to see an eclipse. So that's
I got to meet Jeremy. I would have been one of them.
Yeah. Oh, I would have too, just to go to Mexico. The heck of the eclipse. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Jeffrey Lake, here to discuss Unmasking Mental Health. Now, where can we get tickets for this event? Where can we find out more about the Lake Foundation?
So the Lake Foundation's website is lakefoundation.org. And all of the information is there. The link to our Eventbrite, where tickets can be purchased, and information about the event itself, description about the Lake Foundation and our mission. We also have a shop on the website with a whole bunch of merchandise, whether that's having our Lake Foundation logo on it, or we have a bunch with some slogans and stuff.
That's great. Anything else that you want to discuss regarding the event or the Lake Foundation that we may not have brought up?
Yeah, so I just think that it's important to mention that not only is it an opportunity for us to fundraise, but it's an opportunity for us to raise awareness for mental health. And I think we'll get to what those funds will bring to us, but the awareness aspect is probably the most important.
Do you feel that there's greater awareness now of mental health issues, that people are more inclined to share their mental health experience than, say, 5-10 years ago?
I do. I think there's still plenty of stigma on mental health, and we still have a lot of work to do there. But I think, surprisingly, I think one of the treasures, because every dragon in our life leaves some type of treasure behind.
Right.
I think the dragon of COVID left behind this mental health piece, because everyone's mental health worsened at the same time. and it drew attention to that, and that helped break that stigma a little bit.
I mean, after a while with COVID, you kind of like the being at home aspect of it, you know, just kind of being away from it all. But then as the weeks and months drew on, you feel isolated and disconnected from coworkers. And one of the things I like about being here is interacting with my coworkers, as well as interacting with guests like you.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent a lot of time at home during those years, and it was not for me.
Okay.
It was not for me. The isolation, and like you said, the isolation is, it's troublesome.
Mm. Jeffrey Lake from the Lake Foundation talking about Unmasking Mental Health, a masquerade event. It's coming up on February 26th of 2025, a night of creativity and advocacy. It's going to be held at Constantino's in Clark Summit. Aside from Jeremy Luan, what else could we expect to see at this event?
So we're going to have, like I said, we're going to have a fashion show that is a contest. So Jeremy is the special guest judge.
Good luck competing with him.
Yeah, so we have a lot of, we have a few entries already. Our deadline is December 15th. There's potential of extending that.
Okay.
But, so we're still looking for entries there as well, but we have quite a few going. We expect to also have Picture Perfect is going to be our entertainment for the night. Picture Perfect, the band.
Great band, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're excellent. They're going to be the entertainment for the night. They're going to MC the event.
Okay, you sound like you're in good hands. You got Jeremy Luan and Picture Perfect. I don't know what more you can ask. Will there be people sharing their experiences at this, or is that something that's not really going to be included in this particular event?
So there will be you know, a small presentation after the fashion show contest that will allow for some of that sharing.
Okay, that sounds great. Jeffrey Lake from the Lake Foundation talking about Unmasking Mental Health. It's a big event coming up February 26th of next year at Constantino's in Clark Summit. I appreciate you coming in and sharing your story with us here on Special Edition.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
My name is Alana. I was 6 years old, and I got diagnosed with cancer. I come to San Diego for treatment.
After her last treatment on December the 4th, I was just kind of having a conversation with her, letting her know, Alana, you did awesome. I mean, so proud of you. Like, you fought, you accepted whatever was happening, you went with it. And her words to me were, Mommy, thank you so much for helping me get through this. She said, I could not have done this without you. This was very hard. And I couldn't even hold my tears because when I think about it, I would not have been able to get through this without St. Jude. And so once we became part of the St. Jude family, everything was okay. Thank you, St. Jude, for helping me get her through this because I wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Hey drivers, it's Ryan Blaney, your 2023 NASCAR Cup Series champion and driver of the number 12 Discount Tire Ford Mustang. Do you know one of the most important things that helps keep my car going on the track? Tire pressure. Keeping your tires properly inflated is crucial for safe stopping power and better gas mileage. Check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association. If you see an officer under attack, follow these steps. Call 911. Ask the officer if you can assist. If the officer accepts, do whatever you can to safely help. If the officer declines, then start filming.
Thank you for joining us this week on Special Edition. Special Edition is a weekly public affairs presentation of Odyssey Wilkes-Barre. I'm Brian Hughes. Thanks again for listening.